Let's just pray before we open up the word. Father, we pray that you would come by your power and speak through your word as we open it and as we read it together in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning today to the Gospel of Luke and the passage that we had just read a little while ago, and the well-known parable that is become known as the rich man and Lazarus. And it falls into a period where Jesus is teaching his disciples or his followers, and then the Pharisees come into the story and they're listening and they're trying to either catch Jesus out or to ridicule him or both. And Jesus tells this parable to both highlight the God of riches, which many had and have in first place in their hearts and lives, and also brings us a very challenging and a sober reminder of the eternal consequences of not having the problem of a sinful heart dealt with in life. Can I encourage you to have your Bible open at Luke 16 to the portion that we read, as we very simply consider these verses together. Jesus tells the story of two men who couldn't have been more divided in life. There's a rich man. We're not told his name, but we're told that he dresses in purple and in fine linen. He's got the Armani suit and the gold-plated watch. He's not only rich, but everyone knows that he's rich. And not only that, it tells us that he feasts sumptuously every day. The man was good to himself. He had the best of food, and he ate it. Every day, if you'd been in his house, there was what we might call a great spread. And he reminds us of another man who Jesus told us about just a few chapters earlier, who told himself that he had many good things stored up and therefore he should eat and drink and be merry. That was the type of life that this rich man was living. He thought he was self-sufficient behind his big pillars and his gates, and he was in control. But then there was another man, and we're told his name was Lazarus. And Lazarus was laid just down at the gate of the rich man. Lazarus was a poor man. We don't know why. Perhaps he wasn't able to walk, and therefore he couldn't work. But if you'd been going past the rich man's driveway and past the large pillars and the gates, there you'd see Lazarus lying, always on the outside. And there was no purple or fine linen for Lazarus, but rather painful sores on his broken skin. And Lazarus had nothing to eat, so much so that he desired to eat that which would have fallen from the rich man's table. Lazarus had nothing that the world around him would have valued. Even the dogs came, we're told. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. These were not friendly dogs, but dangerous, disease-carrying dogs which roamed the streets, and Lazarus was helpless to stop them. He was a pitiful sight, and life went past like this for these two men. Day in and day out, the rich man feasting in his purple and his fine linen, and Lazarus lying at his gate. And the rich man knew Lazarus all right, as we will see later on. He would have saw him as he went in and out of his house, but that wasn't enough to change anything. The rich man and Lazarus were divided in life. They were also divided in death. Verse 22 tells us that the poor man died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Lazarus was a righteous man. His name meant God is my help, despite his desperate life on earth. He was trusting in God. And when he died, he was carried off to Abraham's side into the fellowship of the other believers already there. For Lazarus, there were no more open wounds. The physical restrictions he had known were taken away. No longer would he long to eat the scraps which fell from the rich man's table. Lazarus died before the rich man. God spared this righteous man any further suffering, and he took him home to be with himself. And then it tells us the rich man also died and was buried, but the passage tells us that when he was buried, he was in Hades or in hell. Oh, the life that he had once enjoyed. The expensive clothes, the sumptuous eating was gone. Verse 23 tells us he was in torment. The rich man who had so much lacked the one thing that he could take beyond the burial, and that was to be right with God. Lazarus and the rich man were divided in life, and now they were divided in death. Lazarus, who had lived a life of pity, was now comforted at Abraham's side, and the rich man who had lived a life of bounty, of abundance, of self-attainment, was now in eternal torment. You've heard people say, and perhaps you've even said it yourself, that death is a great leveler. Well, it's not really true, is it? It's misleading. Death is a great divider. John 3 tells us, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Lazarus had his faith in God despite his earthly circumstances and received life. The rich man had his faith on his earthly circumstances, and the wrath of God remained on him. I wonder this morning, what about you? If you're really honest with yourself, and the Lord was to take you, like the rich man, from this scene of time, would you be carried to Abraham's side? Or in your heart, you know that you have never put your trust in Christ. You're trusting in your own circumstances, in the here and the now. You're like the rich man on your way to a lost eternity in what the Bible describes here as Hades or hell. And maybe you say, well, I'm not like the rich man at all. I don't have great riches. And I'm not robed out in purple and fine linen. And I certainly don't eat sumptuously every day. But that's not why the rich man was lost. He was lost because he had no time for God in his life. He was too caught up in his wealth, in the good things that he had, that he had no time to consider his soul and to consider God. We see the evidence of that, because if he had had a relationship with Christ, then the outworking of that would have changed his approach to Lazarus lying outside his gate. He knew him, and yet he had no compassion for him. And maybe it's not riches and clothing and food for you, but the truth is that God doesn't reign in your heart and in your life. And whether you want to admit it, like this man, you're on your way to a lost eternity. Not my words, but the words of the Lord. The rich man was, I believe, fooled into thinking he was okay. He was comfortable. He had status. He had a burial. I'm sure there was a big crowd there. He was respected. He knew about God. He knew all about Abraham. Maybe part of the local synagogue. And yet, when he died, he was in torment. The rich man and Lazarus. They were divided in life, but they were also divided in death. Jesus speaks often of eternity, and he speaks of hell. And what is Jesus warning us of here? Seven things, really quickly. It's real. Verse 22 says, the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades. He was there. You will hear all sorts of speculation and sanitized views on what happens after death. People with absolutely no belief in God will talk about their loved ones looking down on them or flying with angels. Not true. There's also a temptation to veer towards annihilationism, where yes, we accept that the believer goes to heaven, but that the unbeliever will just disappear or cease to exist. The Bible doesn't teach this. Jesus taught that there are two destinations at the end of life. Matthew 25 tells us those who Christ never knew, will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Hell is a real place. Secondly, it's immediate. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades there was no negotiation, no holding area. It was immediate. In Hebrews, it tells us it's appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. How the rich man lived his life determined where he was immediately on his death. And he lived his life without trusting in Christ. It's immediate. Thirdly, it's torment. Verse 24, and he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish. How the tables were turned. Lazarus, who had longed to eat the scraps which fell from the rich man's table, and now the rich man longed that he could only get a drop of water from the tip of Lazarus's finger. Think about that. This torment, which even one drop of water would be an easement in it, which goes on for eternity, forever and forever. A horrendous thing. And it would be easy for us to say, well, to the rich man, you had your chance, you didn't take it, and so you deserve it. But the truth is, we all deserve it. We're all rebels against God. And only through his grace do we have the opportunity to avoid this. And that opportunity is open to all, even today. If we haven't as yet put our trust in him, consider it carefully. Put your trust in him. Hell is torment. Fourthly, it's conscious. The rich man was conscious. He's aware of where he is and what's happening. It's a conscious thing. Fifthly, there's an awareness of where he is, but where he isn't also. The end of verse 24 says, I am in anguish in this flame. The rich man knew he was in hell, but he also knew that he wasn't in heaven. And as a parable, perhaps we shouldn't press too much on the imagery, but this dialogue that he has with Abraham tells us that he knows that there is a heaven and that he isn't there, and he can see Lazarus, and he's aware that Lazarus is comforted in paradise. Sixthly, the rich man remembers the good things, the opportunities that he had. Verse 25, Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things. And Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here and you're in anguish. The rich man had in his life so many things that should have pointed him towards God, and yet he lived his life as if God didn't exist. And now he will spend eternity aware that he had a lifetime of opportunity to put his trust in the Savior. And I wonder about you, the graciousness that God has provided you in life, materially perhaps, the opportunity to hear the gospel preached in this church, maybe hundreds of times, maybe thousands, and in other places. The unbeliever remembers all the lost opportunities. And seventh thing, it's final. The last thing that we see here is that there's a fixed chasm, that no one may pass from hell into heaven. Even if Abraham had wanted to send Lazarus across to ease the rich man's suffering, there was a gulf there that couldn't be crossed. And verse 26 says, and besides all this, so even apart from the fact that you had all a whole lifetime of opportunity, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able to, and none may cross from there to us. There is no way in eternity to pass from hell to heaven. It's fixed. Our opportunity is today. Praise God for that opportunity. We see these two men. They're divided in life. They're divided in death. We see the reality of hell. But there's one final request that I don't think we should miss. Verse 27, and he, that's the rich man, said, then I beg you, Father, to Abraham, to send him, that's Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. The rich man, he knew the hearts of his brothers who were still on earth. He never would have sent Lazarus to do something for him in life, but he's desperate. He knew that his brothers were not trusting in the Lord and he wanted to warn them. Perhaps he had left them all his money. And he knew rightly that they would be spending their time on this money, thinking nothing of God. Make sure you don't end up in this place of torment, he said. And he thought, surely, if someone goes back from the dead who has seen the terror, surely they'll believe. But Abraham says, no. They have Moses and the prophets. What did he mean? He meant they had the word of God, Moses, and then the prophets in the Old Testament. They had the Bible. We have the Bible. In 2 Timothy, it tells us in how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the Bible, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember the Elijah on Mount Carmel and the great contest, as it were, between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And they both set up their altars, and the prophets of Baal called on Baal for hours to send down fire. And then there was no answer. And then Elijah soaked his altar, and then he called on God to send the fire. And God did send fire and consumed the sacrifice. A great demonstration of God's power. And yet in the days that followed, the people didn't believe. Their eyes were blinded. And so it was with the rich man's brothers. And here this morning, what are you waiting on? Are you waiting on some sort of a sign? Someone back from the dead, when all you need is here in the Bible. You've heard it before. You've even read it. And it's able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Believe on him, and thou shalt be saved. Very soon, we will remember that first Easter, the torment that the rich man was to endure for eternity in hell. That is what we deserve. But Jesus took it for us on that first Easter on the cross. The torment that Jesus took by having the Father turn his back on him because he became sin for us. And all we must do is to accept his free gift of salvation. Let's remind ourselves of Lazarus and the story of grace that we see in his life. Where was he? He was comforted in glory. No more sores. No more lying outside the gate. Now he was at Abraham's side. And was it anything he did? No. He deserved hell also. But by grace, through faith, he was saved. A picture of the gospel. And that gospel is the same for us today in Drumrea. We deserve to be like the rich man. And yet if we come and put our trust in Christ, we can be perfected like Lazarus and in glory forever. Two men couldn't have been more divided in life. Also divided in death because of what they had done with Jesus. The reality that we see of the awfulness of hell separated from Christ. These are Jesus' words. Take seriously. What are you? Are you waiting for a great sign? You have all you need. The good news of the gospel. I trust that you're already trusting in Christ, and that have that assurance that at the end of life you will be carried to Abraham's side. But if you're not, I urge you, put your trust in him today. Whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the plainness of it and how the words of the Lord Jesus himself tells us of the rich man and Lazarus. And we see ourselves in so many ways in both men. And Father, if we have as yet not bowed the knee, put our trust in Christ, Father, we pray that you would move us by your Spirit this morning to come and to bend the knee before you, repenting of our sin, accepting that there's nothing in our hands that we can bring, but simply clinging to what you did on the cross. Father, we thank you for your grace and for making a way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.